our players are the reason why we got to AT&T, had success last year. But it's a new year, and we've been talking about that since we got back in mid-January, that you need to stay humble, you need to eat crumbs, you need to stay hungry, because what you did yesterday is great, but it pales into comparison to what you can do today. And so I'm excited about the challenge that we have this year, but I know that our guys are going to learn from the experiences they had last year and continue to fight through the adversity that we know we're going to have.
Chris Klieman at Big 12 Media Days in Arlington, Texas, AT&T Stadium yesterday, about turning the page from last year. Last year was last year, and this year is this year. That seems simple, but it's true. If you think you're better than you are based off what you did last year in sports, you are in for a rude, rude awakening. Just because you make a deep run or have a great season one year does not guarantee anything the next year. And if you watch the quarterback series on Netflix, and I've watched all of it now, I knew I would in a hurry. It was good. It was really good. The slight criticisms I've seen, I'm just like, man, there's nobody that wants to be happy in the world today. It isn't about all Patrick Mahomes, all right? It's not called Patrick Mahomes. It's called quarterback. Follows Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota, and Patrick Mahomes during the last season. Of course, the Chiefs end up winning the Super Bowl. But what Chris Klieman says about turning the page from last year to this year, and that, you know, last year doesn't mean anything going into this year now, other than, you know, maybe some confidence, is when you, and I don't want to spoil anything for the series if you haven't seen it, but one of the quarterbacks season comes to an end. We know it's not Mahomes. One of the quarterback seasons comes to an end, and obviously the guy is bummed out, the quarterback, and he's driving back with his wife, and he makes a really, you know, it's a simple comment, but it kind of hit home with me, and that is, we always talk about the finality of something, right? The finality of, you play your last game as a high school athlete. That was your senior night, your senior day. That's it. And maybe it doesn't hit you right away. Or the finality of, you have a great season and you get upset. You might be undefeated and get upset like Sabetha Boys last year, and you're not expecting it. It's just a sudden finality. Like, you cannot believe you're not practicing the next day. You can't believe the season's done. Well, that happens in all levels of sports, whether it be high school, college, pro, even younger than that. And that reality doesn't necessarily hit you right away. But the other thing that happens, especially in professional sports, in college sports as well, and really, honestly, about every level, and that is that when your season comes to an end, there's the finality of it, but it also means you go back to zero. You go completely back to zero. And you may say, well, K-State's got a lot of returners back, their whole offensive line's back, Will Howard played great the second half of the season, you know, KU's got all these starters back, and man, you know, they're going to build off a 6-7 season. You know, K-State, you know, OU's not what they were, Texas, we think's overrated, and TCU lost Max Duggan, so we should win the Big 12. It doesn't matter what happened last year. It doesn't matter what happened last year. Okay, it's back to zero. And so in the quarterback Netflix series, it's very, very interesting. I if you want to see what quarterbacks go through and what NFL players go through, and if you think they just show up on Sunday and play ball, you are one of the most naive people on earth. You need to watch the show. But this one quarterback, just like, all that work, all those wins to get home field advantage in the playoffs, and now it's over, and here's the kicker. We got to go all the way back to square one. It's not like you can go back halfway and rebuild. No. You rebuild all the way back to the beginning. And you may say, well, wait a minute. You don't have brand new players all the way across the board. Doesn't matter. You're going to have new faces every year on a team. Every year on every team, you're going to have that at the high school level, the college level, and the pro level. Always. You have seniors graduate, or you don't have seniors. Well, freshmen come in. Mm-hmm. All right, one or the other, usually both. You have Deuce Vaughn leaving. Well, now you got to find a way to replace him. We're going to hear more about that. Adrian Martinez is gone. You know, Skylar Thompson was gone. They brought in Adrian Martinez. You have to reboot. And it takes so much work to get deep into the season. And there's only one team at the end of the year in pro football and pro sports that's super excited, and that's the champion. You know, the Heat were so close, right? They got the NBA Finals. They got to reboot completely. You know, Nuggets won it, but everybody else got to reboot. And, you know, how about the Philadelphia Eagles? They're a great example right now. Everybody's talking about how they're the clear-cut favorite to win the NFC. Them and the Niners. And I'll be willing to bet you somebody we're not talking about is going to be right there at the end. Happens every single year. And so people go, well, the Eagles, look what they did in the offseason. They got younger, great draft picks. They lost some key guys, but they can replace them. Jalen Hurts in his prime. Their coach is their system. They're more comfortable in it. They've improved at this position. And they were, you know, one defensive holding penalty away of maybe winning the Super Bowl last year. So you just automatically, this is what the pundits do. This is automatically what fans do. And you know, the Chiefs have spoiled people rotten because they do get back every single year. They've done it five straight years, the AFC title game. And three of the last 4 years have been in the Super Bowl. There is no guarantee the Eagles are even going to make the playoffs, let alone win their division, let alone make it to the Super Bowl. There is nothing there. Jalen Hurts gets hurt, and Marcus Mariota is your backup, and he didn't do so hot last year in Atlanta. You're probably done. Your Super Bowl dreams are done when your starting quarterback gets hurt more often than not. So it's just automatic. You're like, well, I think fans get caught up in this. I'm sure I do at times too. You just automatically roll over. Like, as soon as the Super Bowl is over, well, the Eagles are so close. All they got to do is just a little bit more and they're going to win it. No. They don't got to do just a little bit more to win it. They got to go all the way back to the bottom of the mountain. Here's the analogy I'll use. You're climbing a really big mountain. You get halfway up. You make improvements. Guess what? You can't get any further. You're done. So now you got to wait till next year to climb that mountain again. Now you work really hard to be in better shape. You're like, I'm going to get to the top of that mountain. You work out. You think you got it mastered. You think you got a chance to get all the way to the mountain. And you get higher than you did the year before. But guess what? You couldn't make it to the top. You go all the way back to the bottom of the mountain again. You start over, and you work harder, harder, harder. You might have some help or ideas to get yourself to the top. And maybe you do get yourself to the top. And maybe you don't. But the point I'm making is you always have to go back to the bottom. You always do. You know, you hear the analogy, well, it's harder to stay on top than it is to get on. To get to the top, it's always harder to stay on top than it is to get to the top. And actually, that is a misnomer. Because every single team, even the one at the top of the mountain, has to go back to the bottom. Because everybody starts back on an equal playing field, don't we? 0-0. Mm-hmm. Well, the Chiefs don't get to start in the middle of the mountain and have a head start. Everybody acts like they do. They don't. Well, they have Mahomes. Oh, that feels like a head start, right? Well, he's one, you know, injury away from changing that. So really, it's a misnomer, and it's not an accurate thing when we say, and it just kind of hit me now, when we say, well, it's harder to stay at the top of the mountain. It's harder to stay on top than it is to get to the top. Maybe that's true, but you don't stay on the top. As soon as the year's over, the Chiefs are the champion. I get that. But as soon as training camp begins day one, actually, it's really the day after the Super Bowl, but if you want to go technically, when training camp opens, everybody's back to vying for the same thing, and the goal is to win the Lombardi in 2023. You won 2022, congratulations, but that doesn't help you win 2023. The Chiefs found out that they tried to go back-to-back and got blown out by the Buccaneers, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to go back to square one. You got to put in the work. You go day one in training camp, and it's a long, long journey and process. And then 31 of the 32 NFL teams end up doing what this quarterback did in this series and saying, oh, man, we had this a great year, but it doesn't mean much. Now we go all the way back to square zero. And that's what K-State is. You know, TCU, you know, you could sit here and say, well, Georgia and Alabama, well, you know, do they really start back at zero? They do. They do. They have more talent than most people. We get that. No guarantee they're going to win it every year. But they usually are there at the end of the year. But K-State, it's great what they did last year. But they've got new faces in different places. You don't have all 22 starters back, healthy and ready to go. And it is a different team. You have a new starting quarterback. Well, Will Howard was a starter last year. Yeah, the last part of the season. He was not your starter all year long. He's never been a starter for a full year. So there are questions with Will Howard, which we'll get to in a little bit. Doesn't mean he's not going to play great. But K-State could actually be more talented on paper and go out this year and go 7-6. It's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas could be an actually improved team from last year and go 4-8. It's possible. You lose a couple of games where one play decides it, some fluke play, an injury, a mysterious flag thrown by an official or not thrown. So when we sit here and say, it's harder to stay on top of the mountain than to get there, technically you got to go all the way back up to the top of the mountain a second time. Now, is it maybe, you could argue maybe it's a little bit easier because now you know what it takes to get to the top of the mountain. You can also argue you're exhausted from getting to the top of the mountain, and so that makes it harder. And everybody's looking to, you're climbing that mountain. Man, there's these other people climbing on this mountain. All of a sudden, they throw a rock at you trying to knock you down, right? You're the hunted. You're the one that everybody's looking at going, hey, the guy to beat to get to the top of Mount Everest in this competition is Kansas City Chiefs or the Kansas State Wildcats or whoever it might be. Well, guess what? Let's all gang up on them. Let's go ahead and throw a rock at them, see if they'll slip and fall off that mountain. You know? Let's put something in their backpack and they go up that they don't even know is in there. It's going to weigh them down. The point is, there's an X on your back. So that's why coaches say it's harder, and players say it's harder to stay on top than it is to get there. That's why they say that, is that everybody all of a sudden is going to give you their best shot. But technically, you all start from the very same spot, and that's the base of the mountain. And that's where all 14 Big 12 teams are going to do this, including TCU, who made it to the national championship game, and including Texas, who's a favorite this year, including Oklahoma, who was 6-7 last year, including Kansas, who was 6-7 last year, including Kansas State, who won the Big 12.
Yeah, just the analogy of all that, it's a lot easier as a fan once you do get to that mountain, I will tell you that, to the top of it. Because I've not seen the whole series, but I know what quarterback you're talking about.
Shouldn't be hard to figure it out, yeah. If you know the three.
It's like as a fan, you get there, and even if you've been there before to the top of the mountain, your focus during that time always turns to that moment, to
right.
that season.
Yeah.
And so, like, when Derek Fisher hits a shot that yeah. pretty much you know is going to eliminate you, like, it's like, oh, my goodness. And so you just, as a Spurs fan, it's like, I've been there before, but this is what I'm thinking about right now. Somebody's going to say, well, look what we got. One of the biggest things I hate is right after your team loses for the final time in a season, everybody's like, oh, I'm still proud of this team. Can't wait for next season. I'm not ready for that right away. Like, people will put that on social media, like, right away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not ready for it. You know, when K-State loses to FAU, you know?
Sure.
It's like, great season, proud of the team, can't wait for the future. I'm like, nah, not right now. Like, that's
now's
the moment
the time
buzzer
to think
sounds.
About the
I'm
future.
Like, you should have won this game and been in the Final Four. Like,
right.
I'm not here for that right now. Like, I'll talk about that tomorrow. But right now, it's like, no, I can't stand it when people do that right after the game. I'm like, nah, right. I'm not ready to wait until next year. And you know why? Because it's exactly what this quarterback you're talking about is saying. You got to go back to zero next
yeah.
year. You got to start over. It's just like, we did all this and got this close to your first,
right.
as I'm saying, K-State basketball, to your first Final Four since 1964.
Right.
And it's like, it's right in your hands and you
right.
didn't grab it and right. take it. And it's like, I'm not ready for that right now. And I know that, you know, you look back at a certain season, you don't think you're going to be as good as you actually were, and you got to factor all that in. But the moment the buzzer sounds, I'm not ready for it no matter what happened and no matter how I got there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, no. That's the tough part of being a player probably, of being a fan, of mm-hmm. being anything involved with sports, is when that buzzer sounds and it's over, it's like, oh, my gosh, now we got to redo all this.
Yeah.
That's the first thought that goes into my mind. I'm like, we're so close, and now you got to go do it again and try to get it next time. And it's just, but, you know, with K-State football, it's a little different. They won the Big 12 championship. They didn't, you know, obviously they didn't win the playoff or anything like that, but they did get that Big 12 title.
Right.
So as we're talking about coming into the Big 12 season, you're starting back at the bottom, and now you've got 13 teams other than yourself in this league instead of 9, and you're figuring out how can we get back there.
It's interesting. I had somebody text me this, and they say they respectfully disagree. I'll give you one prime example to prove my point on this one, because I respectfully disagree with his respectfully disagree. Okay, I get his point, but I don't respectfully disagree that you start over every year. Continuity in coaching and schemes and the return of key players is a benefit. Only situations that are start from zero is those that have new coaches and or lost 75% of the starters. So please explain Jerome Tang and K-State making all the way to Elite Eight. If continuity and stability and scheme is so important, do you know that Jerome Tang, this just in, with a brand new coaching staff, with virtually a brand new team, started from zero? And this is what I'm saying. All teams start from zero. They go back to zero. Now, this person is saying, respectfully disagree, okay, that, you know, continuity in coaching, and I know that's important. I agree that it's important. That's what we've been preaching, stability and coaching staff's help. Do you realize who K-State beat in two of their four tournament games? Kentucky. John Calipari was not a new coach. That was not a new coaching staff. Michigan State, who's their head coach?
Tom Izzo.
So how important was that continuity and stability there? You know, when you're sitting here and saying that, you know, my point is that Kentucky, Michigan State with proven coaches, and Kansas State with a brand new coach, they all started at zero.
Yeah.
They all started at zero. Again, every year you start at zero. You can sit here and you can say, well, we've got four starters back. We have a head start. You may feel that way, but the Kansas State didn't have five starters back. I mean, there's been years Kansas has all the experience in the world and comes back, and they flame out sometimes to a team that's not even closely as talented as them. You have to go back to zero, all right? Are there benefits of having returning starters? Yes. You know, and I think maybe this is what we're disagreeing on is semantics, okay? Because what I'm saying is, when you go back to the first day of practice, you are starting over. You are starting over. Now, if you have more seniors than other teams' seniors, they may have a better idea how to lead practice, and you may have better leaders. So you feel that maybe, what this person's saying, that I don't feel like I'm at zero if I've got this great coach I've had for years, or I've got this star quarterback coming back, or a star point guard coming back, I don't feel like I'm starting from zero. Well, what I'm saying is you technically are, because nothing is guaranteed from last year to carry over the next year. Nothing. Nothing. Your point guard that's returning could end up being in a car accident. Boom. Done. Or could turn their ankle first day of practice, could tear their ACL. I know of a basketball player recently, a few years ago, first day of basketball practice, was going to be a starter, tore his ACL. So there's nothing guaranteed from last year to this year. There's nothing. I mean, what good did it do John Calipari and Tom Izzo to play Jerome Tang in the NCAA tournament? Do you think they go, well, we're going to win because they had to start from zero and we started at 28%? No, that's not how it works. Now, like I said, I think we're disagreeing on semantics. The semantic part of it is, do you believe that you are better off than another team? Well, hell yeah, I get that part. You feel like if you have Patrick Mahomes and this other team has a rookie quarterback, that you're better off? Yes. But you still go back to starting all the work over day one. That's the point I'm trying to make. The Chiefs do not skip preseason, and they don't just walk through eight games of the season and then just decide to flip a switch, and then they're there. They don't get any added advantage for winning the Super Bowl last year to this year. There are no extra. There's no rules set differently for them. You still have to play 11-on-11 football. Your quarterback still got to play well. All right, for you to win a Super Bowl, you got to stay healthy. And that is the ultimate X factor in sports, is if one key player gets hurt, if the so-called benefits you believe you have go right out the window. The other thing, too, is there are so many teams every single year in every single sport and at every single level that surprise you. K-State would be one. Mm-hmm. Florida Atlantic would be one, who they met in the Elite Eight. every San Diego State made it to the championship game. That surprised people, right? Every year in sports, there's always a team. The Jacksonville Jaguars surprised people, made it all the way to the playoffs, right? There's always somebody that surprises you, but you would have thought they were just, well, they're just, you know, they're too far behind in the process. Here's my point. You can gain on the field. You all start day one with a 0-0 record. 0-0. Last year you went 13-0. Last year you were 26-0 in state champs. That's great and all, but that doesn't guarantee you jack squat the next year. That's my point. You go back to zero. Listen, all you got to do, if you don't believe me, watch the quarterback Netflix series of a professional quarterback saying that. Who's going to be an experienced quarterback coming back in a second year of a system. Like, here's one. How the hell did the Minnesota Vikings win 13 games with a brand new coach when all these other teams had experienced coaches coming back? How did they do it? I mean, they were so far behind. Well, I guess you could argue they must have worked harder. They're smarter. Or maybe just everybody goes back to zero. I do understand that there are benefits to stability of coaches. Lord knows we've been preaching that on the show. But in regards to going to the very beginning of training camp, the very first day of practices, everybody starts at the same spot. And that is, and this is the semantics of it that we're probably disagreeing on, 0-0. The Chiefs don't start the year, oh, you won the Super Bowl, you're 4-0, congratulations, you have a 4-game lead on everybody. No, it goes 0-0. And that's what's great about sports. And that's what I like about what Chris Kleiman said is like, man, we got to turn the page. You know, fans can live in the past all they want. But as a coach, you can't. As Will Howard can't. Well, Will Howard can say, oh, you know what? I played pretty good, you know. And these K-State fans tell me I should have been higher rated than Jalen Daniels. You start reading all the press clippings. Next thing you know, Will Howard, he don't do what he's supposed to do. And you know what K-State does? They don't go to the Big 12 tournament or the Big 12 championship game. They don't have the season everybody's expecting. Last year, this is what it cracks me up about baseball. Well, you got momentum going into the end of the season. Hear this crap from the Royals every single year. Well, the Royals, when the season doesn't matter anymore, meaningless games in September, for the most part, they're meaningless. I know young players' development, it means something. Don't get me wrong. And the Royals, well, oh my God, the Royals went 16-8 in September. Well, you know, that gives us some momentum going into next season. You mean all the way from September to April? That is one of the, I don't know, it's one of the silliest things I hear. It doesn't give you, that's not momentum. People use the wrong words way too many times. You may have more confidence, okay? You might have a little giddy up in your step because of the way you ended your season, but there's no momentum. Your momentum doesn't carry over. The Denver Nuggets, do you think their momentum carries over to the first game next season? No. You think the Chiefs' momentum from winning the Super Bowl carries over? No. Does the confidence knowing they've been able to win it all, the Nuggets, help them? Yes. Does this continuity, stability of Mike Malone being the coach and Jamal Murray and Jokic coming back, does that help the Nuggets compared to other teams? Yes. But they all start 0-0. They all have to go through training camp. They all have to start from the very beginning. Some teams have more new players than others. Some teams have changes on their coaching staff. Some teams have brand new head coaches. Some teams have new owners. But you have to go back to 0-0. So I think the person that sent that text to me, I'm not upset about it at all because I love when people present a different side of it. I think we agree more than we disagree because it's just semantics that we're talking about. Does that make sense? Because I think we're getting, you know, into the technical jargon of this or this or this. And I will say this. I've seen a lot of people. There was one coming out, Ryan Poles. He's a GM of the Bears. He used to work with the Chiefs, talking about how much work he's put in. Just because you work 80 hours a week as a general manager of a football team and another guy works 50 hours a week does not mean you're smarter. Because what it, you know, automatically you hear people think this, like, because the people that work more hours and don't sleep and they're on the couch in their coaching room and they don't go home and see their wife and their family, well, they're automatic. I mean, people just think they work harder. I would argue they don't work smartly, because there are coaches that can be very successful and do it in less time because they're more organized, they're more efficient. They maybe have a better idea where they want to go, a better vision. So this person over here can work 30 more hours a week, and you can sit here and act up, talk about how he's such a hard worker. I mean, he might be a hard worker, but he might not be that smart of a hard worker. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because you work 80 hours a week doesn't mean you're smarter than a person who works 40 or 50. You could argue you might be working more inefficiently than the person that can do it in 50 hours. And I saw this the other day where it came out that Ryan Poles works so many hours. I'm like, dear God, a lot of people do in the National Football League. Let's not sit here and give the guy a crown achievement of working 60 hours a week. There's tons of people in the world today that work 60 hours a week on a much more regular basis maybe than even him. And it doesn't mean you're stupid. But it doesn't mean you're the smartest, hardest worker in the world because you work more hours than anybody else. I would argue you don't have focus on life that you should. You're staying away from your family. You're letting your job consume you. And you don't see your kids grow up and you miss your kids' activities because you're working 80 hours a week. That don't sound smart to me. Now, if you got to get 40 hours worth of work in and it takes you 80 hours in order for you to keep your job, I get it, but that means that maybe you're not as smart as people say you are just because you work more than others. So there's no guarantee that Patrick Mahomes works harder than Trevor Lawrence or puts in more time that the Jaguars won't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs this year. There's no guarantee of that. There isn't. None.
No.
There's none because there's one player, yeah, but there's 10 others on the field on your team against 11 other guys. When you play football or basketball, 5-on-5, so forth and so on. So it is starting at zero. You start at zero. You're zero. Technically, you're zero. Zero wins, zero losses. You are starting over. You can sit here and tell me other teams are starting over worse than others. You want to say others have a head start? Okay, I'll listen to it. But when you talk about every season, it is brand new. And that's what makes for great internal optimism, right? I mean, for crying out loud, some of us thought the Royals were going to win 75 games. They'll be lucky if they win 50. But here's the great thing. The Royals, let's be honest. If the Royals end up losing 125 games this year, does that mean they're going to suck horribly next year? Now, some people will say, yeah. But no, you don't know that.
Yeah.
You don't know that. You know, just because a team, you know, I remember this with the Royals. Well, the Mets, when the Mets lost to the Royals. Well, the Mets will be back. Nope. Well, they got all this great starting pitching. Yeah, great. They had this huge head start in spring training, didn't they? They had five outstanding starters. They didn't even make the playoffs the next year. Hitters figured them out a little bit. Pitchers maybe didn't have the drive that they had because they were satisfied where they were. There were injuries that took place. But also, people don't factor this in. Teams always change pieces of their puzzle, even when they win it all. Look at the Denver Nuggets. Bruce Brown's not part of this team next year. That's a significant loss.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year. They brought in Justin Reed. They got rid of Tyrann Mathieu. Right?
Yep.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire really wasn't a part of the team much. They got a first, they got a seventh round running back that was their best running back. I mean, this happens all the time, and so you are starting over with Justin Reed at safety. You're starting completely over Isaiah Pacheco at running back, and took some time for him to develop into where you thought he could be a starter. Yes, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to learn a brand new playbook. That is an advantage. I get it. That's a benefit. But just because Patrick Mahomes knows the playbook better than a quarterback on another team does not guarantee that Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to have a better season. And that's my point.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I think what it comes down to is the thing you talked about in the middle of all that. every team starts 0-0.
Yeah.
And so...
So that's the base of that.
Another example of what I have, you know, another K-State example is, like, I remember when the season, basketball season ended last year, and then Jerome Tang got hired, right? I was excited about it. I was like, I got a feeling we're going to see a lot of basketball, great basketball at Bramlage Coliseum on both sides, men's and women's, because the women's basketball team was trending upwards, right? Aoka Lee was coming back after being an All-American.
Oh, yeah.
And everything looks real good. And we're talking about K-State women's basketball coming back this year, this past year, being a contender to win the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
Aoka Lee has an injury that she's been fighting her whole career and decides to have surgery late summer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not playing this year.
Mm-hmm.
That changed the whole trajectory of what K-State women's basketball is going to be. They had to start at zero with Aoka Lee. Mm-hmm. Now she's not part of the team anymore.
They create
and
a
so
whole
now
new
you're
offensive
trying to figure
system
out how to
her.
Do everything without one of the best players in America playing for your team. Listen, credit to them. They beat the team that ended up being the national runner-up in Manhattan in Iowa there in November. But, you know, it's something that they couldn't sustain the whole year because they had so much change. And when you lose a player like that, it changes everything about your mentality and makeup as a team. That could happen with Patrick Mahomes. That's why you start zero. That's why we're talking. You say you start at zero. You're not at the top of the mountain right now because
no.
anything can happen during this 17-game regular season and then when you start the postseason.
Yeah.
You can lose somebody. Somebody can get hurt. And so it because you won the Super Bowl this past season for the Chiefs doesn't mean that it gives you any kind of advantage going into the next season. Now, as you prepare for a season and understand what you have, who you have, your makeup of your team, you probably feel like you have an advantage going in with Andy Reid as your coach and Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
Yeah.
I think everybody understands that.
Sure.
But you're still 0-0 at the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to work at it. And if Travis Kelce goes down, we're knocking on wood, hoping none of this happens, but these are examples of what can happen to where you feel like you're the best in the league, and then boom, something can happen, and you're not anymore. And now you've got to figure out how you get back to that point without somebody. It's not easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
K-State women's basketball team, I feel like coming up this year could be very, very successful.
Agreed.
Again. Lee's back. They've got a couple Louisville transfers. Gabby Gregory came back. They could be really, really good. But one of those players could get hurt early in the season, and it changes everything.
Absolutely.
And I've seen it so many times with teams that I support. And K-State women's basketball might be at the top of that list of one player going down has changed and messed up their entire season a few times since I've been watching K-State women. And that goes back to the Deb Patterson years, too.
Right.
And so there's nothing that is given when you start a season 0-0.
Right.
There's a lot of things that can happen in those 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, however long the season is.
Everybody, I'll give you another analogy. Everybody goes back. So let's see the previous year. Let's just say state track and field, for instance, okay? So the year before, you finish, you get to state, and the 100-meter dash, you finish in seventh, all right? So the next year, every single one of those people are back, let's just say, all right? So it should end up being the same result, right? No, because what happens is you go back to zero. As soon as that race is over, everybody's on equal footing from that standpoint. Yeah, you won the 100-meter dash. Congratulations, you have the gold. But if everybody's coming back next year, do you just quit training? No. So does somebody train more than another person? Does that automatically win they're going to win the gold the next year? No, because they could overtrain, hurt themselves, right? They could grow in their body as a high school track and field athlete, and maybe they put on a little bit of weight or too much muscle, or they lift too much, or they have a knee issue, or who knows what it might be. And so imagine this. You run the 100-meter dash, okay? And it's as soon as it's over, all right, you put everybody back at the start of the line, all right, and 10 minutes later, you run it again. Do you think it's going to end up exactly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in that order? I would guess probably not.
Probably not the whole order.
I would guess the top will probably be the same, but I would guess because it's very. I mean, we're talking 100-meter dash. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about if you get a great start, but the second time you run it 10 minutes later, you don't get a good start out of the blocks, changes everything.
Yeah.
So I would be willing to bet you that it won't be the same exact order. Now, take me a year forward, the very next year. Do you think it's the exact seven people that all return are going to be in the 100-meter dash?
No.
Why not? They were the only ones in it the year before.
There's some people who are gone. There's variables. Do you know that like the freshman coming in has the second best time right. in the nation in the 100 meter dash? You know, like that wasn't in your
sure.
That was an eighth grader last year.
The nationals. Like,
yeah. So there's different variables. Yeah. Is basically what it comes down to.
Yeah. So I think what this person and I think I'm glad he texted me this because it really helps us kind of break it down a little bit more. Is that I think him and I actually, I think all three of us actually agree.
Yeah.
It's just that how we are looking at it, the perspective of how we're looking at it. If you look at it from the base, just take it, you know, don't look any deeper than everybody goes back to 0-0. Everybody has to go back and start training camp day one. Every high school football program has to go to two-a-days or whatever they set up. They all start practice the same day. You know how I know that? Because Keisha doesn't let them start till a particular day.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with basketball and volleyball and everything else. And no doubt, there's no doubt that there's a benefit and an advantage to having experience back. There's no doubt having stability with your coaching staff, somebody that's been there, done that. There is no doubt that's a huge advantage. Absolutely a benefit. I totally agree with this person on all of that. But our basis of our topic is everybody goes back to zero, literally 0-0. Zero wins, zero losses. So you go back to the base of the mountain. If you want to, maybe this is one step further. Maybe if you want to argue the Chiefs are the first person in line to climb the mountain and they fire off the gun and then the other 31 are in a single file line to start going up the mountain and it's a race to see who gets there first, not to see who can actually get there. Okay, maybe that's a decent analogy, you know, that, okay, there's somebody that might be at the front of the line, you know, at the base of the mountain that might get a, you know, a quick little half-step start. And maybe that's what this person's basically trying to say. So it's an interesting conversation, interesting topic. But I know this, Chris Klieman knows they're going back to zero. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And if you rest on your laurels from the year before, you're going to be in big, 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 big trouble. Big trouble, no matter what level. All right, local baseball results, Dusty, and we got some baseball and softball coming up, right?
Yes, baseball Legion Zone tournament finished off yesterday, and actually Beloit and Concordia are headed to state semifinals. Concordia won 8-1 over Marysville. Consolation semi as Beloit beat Marysville 7-6 to punch their ticket to state, and then the championship Concordia won 10-3. Concordia automatically qualified for state anyway because they're hosting Legion, but they did win that zone championship, and then the second team out of that zone is Beloit. They're going to state for the first time since 2015 in Legion baseball, according to Coach Morosis. So congratulations to them. State will be the end of next week, July 19th through 23rd, will be the state tournament in Concordia. K18 East Region semis in Concordia. Clay Center over Beloit Red 8-5, and Smith Center came back. Smith Center Red for an 8-7 win over Russell. The finals are tonight at Doyen Field in Concordia. Beloit Red against Russell at 6:30, and Clay Center takes on Smith Center Red 25 minutes after that. Here this evening. So that's a look at K18 East Region. Peewee District semifinals. District 1 at Cortland. Beloit Ironbirds are on to the championship. They beat Pike Valley 6-2. Concordia Chevys beat Belleville Harslev 7-3. Third place is Pike Valley against Belleville at 6:30. And then championship Beloit Ironbirds against Concordia Chevys at 8. District 2 at Smith Center. Osborne over Wakanda 2-0. And the Beloit Grasshoppers beat the Concordia Knights 6-2. Wakanda against Concordia Knights at 6:30 for third tonight. And Osborne against Beloit Grasshoppers at 8 o'clock. Top three teams will advance to state there. We'll have those full brackets posted at some point today for district at ncksports.com. Updated anyway. They're already there, but not updated through last night's games yet on the website. But we hope to do that today. K18 state softball coming up at Lucas, and that starts tomorrow. Osborne County against Oakley at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning in game one. Game two at Scott City against Norton Phillips for 30 minutes after that. And then Plainville will play the Osborne County Oakley winner 30 minutes following game two. That full tournament is scheduled to be played Saturday and Sunday, and you can find all of those matchups. That bracket is posted at ncksports.com. So that's what's going on with baseball and softball here in the postseason today and all right. Tomorrow.
All right, we'll hear from Chris Klieman. More from Chris Klieman from Big 12 Media Days coming up in a little bit here on the ticket. Also, the Royals resume their season. Do they have to? You know, I wish the Royals and everybody go back to 0-0 at the All-Star break. I don't think it would change anything, really, but At least you'd have hope, you know. But what sport is it that they are they used to? I don't even know. But there was like there's a first half and a second half, and they start from zero, and then you win the second half, and that gets you into the postseason. There was that soccer or hockey or what? There was some league that did that.
Yeah,
where they restarted basically. They you already punched your ticket, but then everything went back to I think zero. I believe that happened, or I've just lost my mind, which is possible. and then we'll go through Major League Baseball's announced the schedule for next year, and then Chris Jones. We've had something that happened yesterday. It could really impact what Chris Jones and the Chiefs get done with his contract extension. And Dusty will give you a quick Bud Collins Jr. update of Wimbledon. That's all coming up. But first, we. And I apologize that we went a little long with all that talk. That's how it happens sometimes on the show. And that's okay. I like interaction. And listen, the person that texted me, I hope you know that I actually appreciate you sending me that stuff. I haven't read. There's others that have come through. I've only read the first initial text. So if that person's listening, sorry. I haven't had time to read through all the text while I'm doing the show. But I think if this person and I sat down, I think all three of us sat down and had a beer, we'd be like, yeah, I totally get what you're talking about. Yeah, you know, I totally get what you're talking about. And really, we're really agreeing about something. It's just kind of a slight different perspective, and that's okay. It's okay to actually have different perspectives, and as long as we don't sit there and have a beer and then throw the beer at each other and yell and scream and kick and holler like a two-year-old that you're wrong and I'm right and you're never right and I'm always right and you're always wrong, well then okay, then that's a healthy conversation. All the other stuff wouldn't be at all. Plus you have to go to the emergency room with a beer stein plugged into your forehead. Because I can throw one really, really hard. Actually, I can't, never have. Grady Cypher and Coy Hairsnape, they're going to be in the Shrine Bowl. You want to set this up?
Yeah, the 50th Shrine Bowl taking place tomorrow in Hayes, and Grady Cypher is following in his dad's footsteps, who played in 1997, Casey did in the game, and then he is the 22nd Bullet player to play in the Shrine Bowl, and Coy Hairsnape's the 33rd Smith Center player to be selected into the Shrine Bowl, and they both talk about their tradition with their schools and being able to do this, and they both had outstanding careers at their respective schools and are getting ready to play in tomorrow night's game. Starts at 7 in Hayes at Lewis Field, and had a chance to talk with both of these guys. It was kind of fun doing it together, and had the chat with Coy Hairsnape Smith Center, Grady Cypher Beloit, playing in the Shrine Bowl tomorrow night in Hayes. And we're back here on Kitty Country 94 Sports. We have a couple area athletes that are headed to the Shrine Bowl, actually already in Shrine Bowl practices this week and playing for the West squad, as we have Grady Cypher to Bullet, Coy Hairsnape from Smith Center. First of all, guys, thanks for taking some time to join me here, talk about the Shrine Bowl, getting set for Saturday's game. I'll start with you, Grady, just as you look at this and the opportunity that you do have here to play one more high school football game before you head off to Lawrence to go to KU. What are your thoughts on being able to be part of this, and what does it mean to have the selection to be a part of the Shrine Bowl?
It's just been an awesome experience all around. It's amazing to be able to play for something bigger than myself, and like you said, one more last high school game. It'll be a good time. One last go around.
Coy, your brother Colton played in this game last year, so you probably have a little bit more of an inside look as a family member of seeing somebody be part of it. What are some of the things that maybe you heard from him or saw from him that you've taken from that experience and applied to this year as you're part of it?
So he told me that it was a great experience. Just make some good friends, because some of these guys that you meet here are going to be your best friends for the rest of your life. You never know what could happen. And he said just make sure to pay attention and really feel what the kids are going through when you get to have that hospital experience, because it's hard for us to understand all of the diverse, like the terrible things they have to go through. So it's just good to take some time and think about that as well.
As far as the week of practices for both of you guys, Coy, how's that gone for you so far as you get prepared for Saturday?
It's been pretty good. I mean, I was pretty sore at first because I haven't played football since November, but it's going pretty good, and we're having a lot of fun hitting.
Grady, how's it going for you?
It's been good. We've been getting after it. It's nice to – I mean, when you're here, you're going against the best of the best, so that's been pretty awesome. Everyone knows what they're doing. Everyone's ready to go, so it's just been a good time all around.
So, I talked about Colton playing in the game last year, but Brennan Walker from Beloit played in the game last year as well, Grady, and there's been a lot of Trojans that have played in this game in the past. What does it mean to you to represent Beloit one last time as well?
That's a big thing for me. It's been awesome. I'm glad that I was given the opportunity to play for my school and for this team one last time. It's been amazing, and I've
our head coach at Beloit was a coach here last year, so he's been talking to me a lot, and he's been asking me how it's going. And so just the shared experiences that we've been able to have with people from last year, like Brennan Walker, and like two people with this year, it's just been amazing.
And Koya, obviously Smith Center football is known to have a great tradition, and so what does it mean for you to be out there one last time as a Redman and represent what Smith Center means for high school football?
I mean, it's super awesome to be able to put on the pads with that red helmet one last time. I feel honored to be in such a prestige group of Smith Center athletes that have gone up to the next level to make it into the Shrine Bowl game, and I mean, it feels like an honor. I mean, I'm somewhere between 30 and 40 Smith Center players to make it, so mm-hmm. I feel like it's just a cool thing to be able to carry on the tradition.
Grady Seifert from Beloit, Coy Harrison, Nate from Smith Center. Guys, thanks again for the time. Congratulations on your selections, and hope you guys have fun coming up on Saturday.
Thank you.
We have all the things we're talking about. This would be the time you could actually probably more so agree that you really do start from zero mm-hmm. because you're bringing a whole bunch of all-stars to play with each other for the first time, just like we have with the eight-man all-star games. And yeah, I guess you could argue if one coach has multiple all-stars, there's a slight advantage or benefit. Yeah, you could certainly say that. But this is a case where you've got a whole bunch of great players in the state of Kansas converging there in Hayes to play against each other, and you are pretty much all of them are learning whatever terminology they end up using for offense, defense, who the coaching staff is, getting familiar with your players. That's starting from zero, getting to know your teammates for the first time in these situations. Unless you have a teammate from your high school team there, then you don't have to do it with everybody. And then, of course, you build the relationships. And we talk about that all the time with the eight-man all-star games, and we did that back about a month ago in June in Beloit. And now you got the Shrine Bowl in Hayes, and, of course, Grady Seifert and Coy Harrison-Ape representing our area.
Yeah, and they have an opportunity to be some part of something special, like we've always talked about with those all-star games, too, and Coy talked about, you know. That's an interesting dynamic still for me. Like, your brother played in the Shrine Bowl the year before, and now you're playing in that game. Like, we've seen that in eight-man all-star games a mm-hmm. lot, right, where brother played the year or 2 years before that. But you have, a direct tie and line to ask, what's this like? What did you do? What happened? And you were there to see it too.
Yeah.
And so, and obviously Grady has that with his dad, but it's, you know,
but Grady was not there to see it.
We've been separated quite a few years from Casey and Grady. Sorry, Casey.
Are you saying Casey's old?
Not at all. Right.
No.
But yeah, so, it is something that you get to see and be a part of as an outsider, as a junior in high school, right, and going into your senior year, and now to have the honor to actually do it yourself, too, the Harrison family's got to be just super proud of their boys. And,
absolutely.
And from what I understand, they're great kids. All these kids that get selected to this game almost have to be high-character kids because they actually look at that when they're selecting Shrine Bowl participants and getting nominations and things like that. And so it's always fun, and it is an honor to be a part of this. And you know, my cousin played in it in 1998 when there were a couple Smith Center guys in it, too. So I remember the history of Smith Center in this mm-hmm. game, too, right? And actually, Tony Thompson played in it that year for Beloit, too, that I went. And that's the only time I've gone. But I'm going to be in Waukini this weekend, so I think I'm going to go to the game tomorrow night and actually watch it and see a part of it. And it's fun to have the local kids get the spotlight and be able to be a part of something like this.
Absolutely. And for all those people that are K-State fans in North Central Kansas, they're going to have to deal with watching Grady and Crimson and Blue as a Jayhawk preferred walk-on. It's funny. I've talked with many people over the years. K-State, they bleed purple, right? And KU fans, they bleed crimson and blue. And then sometimes it crisscrosses, and their kid ends up going to K-State. Oh, dear. And then you know what? You just come around. Or your kid goes to KU, and you've been a K-State your whole life. You know what? You just come around. You just have to come around. That's just part of it. You support your kid wherever they go, even if it's to a school that you maybe have despised and hated for a very long time. You come around, go, you know what, those guys at the, you know, those coaches at KU, they're not bad dudes. They're not bad dudes after all. Yeah, I found out because my kid's going to KU, and I was this big K-State fan or Oklahoma fan, mm-hmm. Nebraska fan. And there's great people at all these institutions. And so when people put a blanket statement, well, everybody at KU is horrible or K-State or everybody does this, everybody does that. No, it's never everybody.
usually it's a not loud minority is who you're talking about. So we wish Coy Harrisnape and Grady Cypher best of luck, and obviously want them to come out of the game healthy tomorrow night. An unbelievable experience for them, and this whole week's an unbelievable experience, much like we talk about with eight-man All-Star games, and wish them nothing but the best in their futures, and best of luck tomorrow night out at Hayes, and hope the weather will cooperate and everything will be great.
Yes, absolutely. Full support for Grady when he goes to college.
Full support?
Not so much for his team, but for him.
Oh, okay.
I want him to do very, very well.
I was going to say, when if Grady's on the offensive line against K-State, yeah, okay. I just wanted to get sure I got this clear here. For a second, I thought, wow, I had an opening there. I support Grady and everything he does. Do you really support him blocking a K-State pass rusher in the Sunflower Showdown? Yeah, right. Okay, but we're happy for those guys, and best of luck to them. All right, K-State mentioned Chris Kleiman. We played a cut from him already about turning the page from last year. And now, of course, the other thing, too, when you are the reigning champion or you are highly thought of, K-State, the defending Big 12 champion, upset TCU in the title game, of course, last year, down in Texas, made it to the Sugar Bowl. They have a lot of talent coming back from last year, and they're picked second in the Big 12. They're picked second in the Big 12 behind Texas. So they aren't – usually K-State is picked lower than maybe they should be. This year, they can't use that as a chip on their shoulder. They are getting respect, picked ahead of Oklahoma and behind Texas. Here's Chris Kleiman on being the hunted this time around.
I'm kind of excited about it, actually. But in this league, I think everybody circles every game. I've never bought into one game is more important than another, because if you do, what are you going to tell your players the next week? That this one's not quite as important? But yeah, to be the hunted, the fact that we're the defending Big 12 champs means nothing when you go into that game. I mean, it's still, you got to perform. You know, fortunately, we've had past experiences from my previous school that we had to win a championship and then come up back and follow it up with another championship. And so it's always staying hungry, always staying humble, and making sure that the guys focus on the task at hand. And each week in this league, you're going to get beat every week if you don't have your A game and if you don't have great focus and you don't have great preparation, because the coaching is so good in this league, the teams are so good in this league. 1 through 14, anybody can beat anybody, and I truly believe that.
Well, West Virginia's picked 14th, and Neil Brown and his players are not happy about that. So there's that chip on their shoulder. You know, K-State many times have been picked lower than maybe they should. West Virginia's sitting here going, you picked us last out of 14? Seriously? You have KU ahead of us all the way at 9? Like, well, KU did beat you in Morgantown, although that was an overtime game. Will Howard. Listen, he played great when when Major Martinez got banged up, came in, he played great. I think the question of Will Howard this year is, can you put it all together for a full year? Can you carry things over from last year and be the guy all year long? Here is Kleiman on his starting quarterback for this upcoming season, Will Howard.
Confidence, belief, those are the two things I think of when I think of Will Howard. He's had an incredible journey at Kansas State, and he's had some ups and downs, but he's always weathered the storm. He's always bet on himself and believed in himself. And most importantly, I would tell you, as we come into fall camp, the whole football team believes in Will Howard. The whole football team knows that you can win a Big 12 championship with Will Howard at quarterback. I've just marveled at how he attacks his craft. He's always watching film. He's always breaking things down. He's always being a servant leader, which is very unselfish. He's meeting with tight ends, meeting with wideouts, meeting with running backs, and just sharing his knowledge of football. And then he continues to work on his physical traits. He's leaner this year. He's stronger. I know that he's worked on some mechanical things. I think this is the best we're going to see. We're going to see Will Howard's best year this year without question.
Just amazing in a short period of time. Why is Will Howard on the roster? Why didn't he transfer? He's never going to start at Kansas State. Now you're listening to Chris Kleiman. Like, are we talking about the same dude that we thought of a year ago at this time? Mm-hmm. Nobody was talking about Will Howard a year ago at this time. It was all about Adrian Martinez. It was about how can we do well without Skylar Thompson. There was no talk about Will Howard's going to save our bacon, or Will Howard's going to play great and Adrian Martinez is going to get hurt. There was not really. There was Will Howard's kind of the forgotten guy, and now he's your savior. That's how quarterbacks work.
That's how,
right?
That's how quick things can change,
yes, sir,
too. Right?
Absolutely.
Like you can change who you are and what you mean to an entire fan base to an entire university, right?
Yeah, like, right.
Because, yeah, I mean, I think that was the conventional wisdom was, are we really going to go in here, before Adrian Martinez signed, right? Are we going to go into the season with Will Howard at quarterback? And there were question marks, obviously, with everybody, not just the fans, but with the coaches too, right?
Sure.
And so they went out and got Adrian Martinez, and so this is our guy, right? It was pretty clear you're not getting Adrian Martinez to sit behind Will Howard.
Oh, no.
So you knew that they wanted Will to either get another year under his belt and learn from somebody else, or that maybe you're not our guy, and
you'll be our backup.
A lot of people were talking about, you know, Max or Jake Rubley.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people thought he is the second guy now, and Will Howard just out of here, because technically he was, because Will Howard was going to redshirt last year. I don't think people remember that.
Yeah.
Will Howard was going to redshirt last year because
Adrian
Martinez was going to be the starter, and day one, Jake Rubley was the number two quarterback on the depth chart. And so things didn't work out that way. Adrian got hurt. Will stepped up and took his chance, right? Like, you see a lot of guys do that, where they have the opportunity, and obviously Tom Brady's at the top of that list, right? But this isn't the same level, but it's the same concept. He had the opportunity. He took advantage of that opportunity. Adrian was fairly close to ready for the bowl game, but Will Howard still started and did his thing. Adrian got some time in the bowl game, but and was a very important part of what K-State did last year, but yeah, the narrative changes real quick if you change it, if you go out and perform and do the things like Will Howard did last year. But now it is. It's, can he do it for a whole season?
This could be a topic for a whole another day, but it just kind of popped in my head. I'm thinking, you mentioned Jake Rubley, and that's what got me started on this thought. Who's the future quarterback at Kansas State right now? I think a lot of people say Avery Johnson.
If that were true,
and obviously it can change, we just proved that with Will Howard within a year.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just assume and say that Avery Johnson is the future quarterback at Kansas State. Jake Rubley was highly rated, and all these people talking about, even at one point last year, we got to put Rubley in and bench Martinez. It wasn't put Will Howard in, it was put in Jacob Rubley. Could it be possible? Of course, anything's possible, but that Jake Rubley doesn't hardly ever see the field as a K-State Wildcat?
Absolutely, it can be.
I mean, if you look at what K-State's, you know, they obviously got some talent at that position. Will Howard's come into his own. Obviously, Avery Johnson's an amazing athlete. I mean, there's some options there.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, there's opinions I have about that I want to share right now, because it's not fair, I don't think, to Avery Johnson. Jake Rubley would be your number two guy right now.
Right.
In my eyes, anyway. So he's like Will Howard from last year.
Right.
Like, maybe he was, maybe he thought about redshirting or something this year. Maybe he thought about transferring. So Will Howard was a guy that I think a lot of people were like, why is he still here?
Right.
Like you said, why didn't he just transfer? Because obviously Adrian's going to be the starter.
Right.
And so,
Rubley's the future.
And Rubley's in that spot right now, right?
Yeah.
We know obviously Will Howard's a starter, but Rubley would be your second guy. So it's like, am I ever going to get it? And you got this guy and then another quarterback that might be coming in after Avery Johnson. And it's like, am I ever going to get the chance here? So why am I still here? Like, people are asking why. There are people asking why Jake Rubley is still on the roster, right?
Which you could easily say, Jake Rubley could say, well, look
and
what happened to Will
answer,
Howard.
Right. Like, that's the answer that I would give if people were wondering why I'm staying. I'm like, well, I'm one bad thing happening from being right there and as the starter. And, you know, everybody, Brian Kavanaugh actually spoke at the 8-man banquet, right? He was about to transfer. Like, he never knew if he was going to get his opportunity, because he was behind Chad May, and then Matt Miller came in and started the next year. Well, Matt Miller got hurt in the Holiday Bowl, and Brian Kavanaugh came in and then took over the starting job.
Yeah.
Like, he was the dude at K-State there in the mid-90s, in 95 and 96. And so it's just all about what that kid wants to do. Do you want to stick around and fight and maybe get your opportunity? You don't want to have your opportunity like that, but if you still do the work and put it in and put the time in, maybe you'll get your chance. And so, you know, I wouldn't want to be in the situation of Will Howard going into last year or Jake Rubley going into this year wondering if I'm ever going to play.
Right.
But, you know, it shows a lot of character if you stick around and then go do it, right?
Absolutely. Especially in this day of the transfer portal.
And, I think a lot of people think that Avery's coming up right after Will. I don't know that I believe that, but
I agree with you.
That's what people think for the future anyway.
Yeah. And it takes time. I think people don't understand how much time it does take sometimes to become that guy.
Yeah.
And obviously, Will Howard's an example of that. And then, of course, it would help if Deuce had another year of eligibility. Well, it'd be great if he came back, you know, period.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He went pro, of course. And I think he's going to do good things with the Dallas Cowboys. Chris Klieman on replacing Deuce Vaughn.
Well, you don't replace Deuce Vaughn. What a great, great young man, a great football player, but a better person, a better family. We probably aren't going to be able to do that with one guy. We're excited about our running back room. Coach Brian Anderson does a great job with those guys. DJ Giddens, I think, is a rising star. He played sparingly behind Deuce because you didn't want to take Deuce off the field very often. But when he did, he was very productive, had a couple of really good games for us. We went out and got Trayshawn Ward, who was really productive at Florida State. And we didn't get to see a bunch of Trayshawn during spring ball because he was recovering from an injury. He's full go now. And so I'm excited to see what a number of guys can do. All of our running backs in that room just need to be themselves. They don't need to be Deuce. There's only one of those guys, and everybody saw that in college football the last 3 years.
I don't really want to say this because it starts up another conversation about semantics, I guess you could say. But there are people that believe that it's about who's coming in. You don't worry about the guy leaving because he ain't coming back. So it's about what you have coming up than to focus on what's gone. And there's always opportunity. We just talked about the opportunity Will Howard got with Adrian Martinez going down. You can think of the great opportunities over the course of you know, Tom Brady's opportunity when Drew Bledsoe got hurt, Kurt Warner's opportunity when Trent Green got hurt. Happens all the time. Chad Henne got a couple of great opportunities in the playoffs when Mahomes was banged up, and they're legendary performances by Chad Henne. There's always dudes. You know, Deuce Vaughn is not going to be the last great running back at Kansas State.
No.
It's an end of an era for Deuce Vaughn, but it's not an end of an era for a great running back at K-State. There's going to be another unbelievable running back at K-State. In fact, I would be willing to bet at some point over the course of the next 20 years, there's going to be a great running back at K-State that's going to be drafted higher than Deuce Vaughn. I think the odds are very good in my favor when I say that. Does that mean that person's a better person, better player than Deuce Vaughn? I have no idea. But the point I'm trying to make is there's always talent. And if you're at a Power 5 university, it's not like K-State had Deuce Vaughn and they didn't recruit anybody and they got nobody to carry the ball this year. You're going to see guys, as Chris Kleiman just established, that you didn't really see a lot last year because part of it was you just couldn't take Deuce off the field. And why would you? I mean, he's so amazing. He can catch the ball. He can pass protection's not bad. Of course, we know what he can do when he runs the football. So you feel like you wasted plays with Vaughn on the sideline to give other guys opportunities. Would that help you a little bit more this year now? Well, yeah, of course. You have a little bit more development. But also, last year, you won the Big 12 championship doing it that way. So who's to argue with that? But the point I'm trying to make is there is a lot of talent still in this backfield for Kansas State. And I think, you know, I remember various years where K-State's lost a talented guy in the secondary, or they've lost, obviously, a quarterback, or they've lost an offensive lineman, or they've lost a pass rusher, or they've lost a linebacker, or they've lost a really good running back, a receiver. Somehow, some way, they find somebody. And they will find somebody again. Will it be the same style of player? No. No. There's only a few guys like Deuce Vaughn. Darren Sproles, Barry Sanders, Deuce Vaughn. Those are the three I think of right off the bat. The type of style, their stature, so forth and so on. But that doesn't mean that some other guy can't step into the spot, be the starter, or have a rotation of a couple guys, keep them fresher, and take advantage of their individual strengths. Mm-hmm. It might make you harder to prepare for. Who knows?
There's all kinds of advantages that you can have of having a guy like Deuce or having two, three guys in the backfield that can do different things for you, right? Yeah. Like Deuce was a guy that, I think one of the big things about not taking him off the field is there are multiple times where you'd see him lead block for somebody on a running play and get a touchdown, even if it was a quarterback, right? Yeah. Like he's out there getting out in the lead and putting a block, and it's like funny talking to him after games and you're in the interview room there, and he's like, he enjoys that way more than scoring a touchdown himself.
Oh, yeah.
And so... Yeah, but you do. You have to replace. You got to bring guys in. You know, one of the things I think people forget about, too, and I'm probably guilty of it, too, when I think about not having Deuce Vaughn on this team coming up this year, this team has their entire offensive line back. So when you look at how you can have success in the run game, you don't always just look at who's back there running the football. And so they got their whole line back. Trayshawn Ward and DJ Giddens have a very great opportunity here as the guys that are going to be at the head of that to have a good season because they've got dudes in front of them that are going to take care of them.
And that also helps Will Howard, obviously, too.
Absolutely.
So we look forward to it. It's going to be an interesting season, no doubt. Big 12 Media Days, it was a two-day deal, wrapped up yesterday. KU was on Wednesday, K-State today. Max sent me a text. I got to read this. I always love when I get texts from Max. Excuse me. Got a frog in my throat. Max says,
Wade, KU is not starting at zero. We've been starting at zero for 20 years. We are starting as an average team, and we're going to get better. We are not starting at zero is where we were. Now we are an average team, and we're starting an average team as an average team, and we're going to get better, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Well, listen, I think you're trending that way to get better, no doubt. And is Kansas at optimal sub-zero or zero? No. No. And once again, just to put a book into a conversation around earlier, what we're saying is everybody goes back to zero. Technically, that is absolutely true. Zero wins, zero losses. You start over record-wise, and that's what the quarterback was saying in the Netflix series as well. It's like we go all the way back to starting over. And then you can go off of, well, what definition of starting over is that with depending with experienced players back, coaches, blah, blah, blah. But yes, I think if you're a KU fan, you're a K-State fan, you should be excited about the upcoming season without question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited about KU and K-State playing again against each other on the football field. You know, what will that look like? You know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. Royals resume their season tonight. Not looking forward to that.
No.
What's going on? You got a fly or something? What's going on?
There's something flying in front of me. Yeah.
I thought you were giving me a signal for a second.
No, sorry.
That's to give me the bird again. kidding. At 26-65 through the break, Royals returned against the best team in the American League. Well, that's splendid. Although they did split a four-game set in Tampa. Tampa Bay, the best team in the American League, 58-35. National League, the best team is the Braves. Braves are the best team in baseball right now. Alec Marsh, I didn't want to disrespect him, is set to start on the mound for the Royals. 0-2, ERA is 7 against Tyler Glasnow of the Rays, who's an outstanding pitcher, 7-10 tonight from the K. Major League Baseball yesterday announced that, we already know our schedule for next year. They revealed the schedule. Each individual team will have the full schedule up on its respective team site already there. 30 teams playing 162 games. Here are a few of the highlights. The season will start with a series between the Dodgers and the Padres, and there's nothing more American about the America's pastime than starting a season in South Korea.
Absolutely not. That's the best thing you could ever do.
I know we're running long, but does that bother you? I mean, it's supposed to be America's pastime. Now, like I said, it's pastime. Okay, it's not America's favorite sport anymore. That's gone by the wayside a long time ago. The NFL is the sport of America. No question. The ratings prove that by 1,000%. But it's known as America's pastime. Don't you think that if you're going to have a series in South Korea, you could maybe make sure that doesn't start the season? Like, the Yankees and the Red Sox start the season Thursday night, one game, and then Friday, the Dodgers and Padres. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not that big a deal, but to me, it just seems weird. Hey, America's pastime, we're starting a season. Looking forward to the Dodgers-Padres. Well, those two teams, they hate each other. That's a great rivalry. Can't wait to go to San Diego or L.A. to watch it. Well, actually, it's in South Korea. What the hell? What did you just say? South Korea? Why are we playing real games in South Korea that count, first? Second of all, why is it at the beginning of the season? That kind of doesn't that spoil opening day for the Dodgers and Padres somewhat?
Yeah,
especially if you thought you're going to be the home team.
Yeah, if I was a Dodgers or Padres fan, I might feel different about it. But my answer to this question is the same as what you asked me the other day about how many games you want to see them play. Whatever games they play, wherever they play the games, it's whatever for me. Like, it doesn't – like, I – but if the Royals started their season in South Korea, then I'd probably be like, I don't know if I like that.
Well, what if the Chiefs and the Dolphins play in Germany, and some people still don't even like that?
Yeah.
What if the Chiefs and the Dolphins started the season in Frankfurt, Germany, week one? Wouldn't you have a problem with
it? Yeah, I definitely wouldn't be a fan of that.
Yeah, but why more for that than this?
Because it actually affects what I feel like about my team. Like, I don't know. Like,
it doesn't really affect you.
It doesn't affect me personally, right? Because I'm probably not going to go to the game even if it's at Arrowhead. But yeah. I don't know. And especially this year when you want to celebrate the championship, right? When you come back for that first game, they usually do that and, you know, put the flag or banner up or whatever. And so... Yeah, you don't want to wait for that if you don't have to. But
what if that's interesting you say that? What if the Dodgers win the World Series? The World Series champion would begin defense of their World Series championship in South Korea. That's, I don't know. Sounds
If I'm a fan of it, I'm not really particularly fond of it. No matter what, if I'm going or if I'm not.
The Royals host the Twins to start 2024. Never too early to look ahead for the Royals. March 28th, they will host the Twins. All-Star game next year will be July 16th, Globe Field, their home of the Rangers in Arlington. And this is interesting. Major League Baseball has two scheduled doubleheaders. Scheduled doubleheaders. Mm-hmm. I remember last time they did that.
I heard that was going to be a thing.
Interesting. A's host the Rangers for one on May 8th. Rockies will visit the Giants for the other on July 25th. So I sure hope they don't get rained out either one of those days. All right. The New York Jets have made Quinnen Williams the latest in a string of defensive linemen to get a significant long-term contract this offseason. The Jets and Williams agreed to a four-year, $96 million deal, consisting $66 million in guaranteed money. Williams' total deal is worth $105 million. That also includes a fifth-year option. Why in the world would I bring up a Jets player getting a contract here in North Central Kansas? Because this now paves the way for a contract extension between the Kansas City Chiefs and their star defensive lineman, Chris Jones, which they can now hopefully get done in a timely fashion ahead of training camp. A deal for Jones was always likely to exceed $24 million per year average, and that's what Williams just got. And then Aaron Donald gets about $31 million per year average. So Chris Jones has said before that, listen, I don't need to be paid Aaron Donald money, because I think he's like Aaron Donald is the number one guy. But he also said that he wanted to be paid at least the second best defensive tackle money, which means the second best is $24 million per year on average with Quinnen Williams, and that was closed yesterday. Okay, so 24 and 31. Do you split the difference? Do the Chiefs give him $27 million per year? 27.5, 28? I don't know. The guaranteed money on the deal for Williams should make Chris Jones and his camp really happy, as he could potentially, Chris Jones could get $70 million in guaranteed money. So if you're Chris Jones and his agent right now, you're sitting here going, listen, I'm a better player than Quinnen Williams. Yes, I'm a little bit older, but I've won two Super Bowls. I am coming off my best year. I am in the prime of my career. Quinnen Williams just got $96 million over 4 years. That's $24 million a year. I want more than that per year. He got $66 million in guaranteed money. I want more than that in guaranteed money. So could we be looking at a situation where the Chiefs, you know, have Chris Jones and they go ahead and give him 4 years, $104 million, something like that? 4 years, $108 million, that'd be $27 million per year. And with $75 million in guarantees, you know, somewhere in that ballpark? I mean, that would be reasonable based on the market.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if they can get that deal done, then DeAndre Hopkins, they're free up some cap space. Maybe they could sign him. And it does seem like he's kind of waiting to see what the Chiefs can do. So this speeds up the process. If Quinnen Williams stayed out and didn't get this deal done until, say, a week or two from now, I think that obviously delays everything the Chiefs want to do. So it is interesting that people say how Chris Jones is happy and his camp should be happy about what happened yesterday. I totally agree, but I think Chiefs fans should be happy with this happening yesterday as well, because I think it's going to expedite and speed up the process of this getting done so that Chris Jones can be at training camp. Although I don't think he has to be there, but if he's going to be there for part of training camp or most of it, or if he ends up being there for all of it, that's fine too. It would take away a little bit of a distraction if you get the deal done before training camp, and then it maybe gives you the flexibility to go after another free agent or two that are out there, including, of course, DeAndre Hopkins. So if you're a Chiefs fan and you start getting all caught up in, well, is Chris Jones really worth all that money? And listen, I said before, until he's done what he's done the last 2 years, I didn't think he was. Now, based on the market and everything, he is. Real life, is he worth that money? No. Real life, is Patrick Mahomes worth that money? No. But in regards to the market that is the National Football League, yeah, Chris Jones is worthy of that contract. He's not 35. He is in the prime of his career. Mm-hmm. Do I have a problem with the Chiefs giving him all that money? No. It ain't my money. I don't have to pay it. Now, if that prevents them from signing a whole bunch of other guys and it hamstrings this team for the next few years and costs us a chance at winning a Super Bowl or two, then yeah, I'm against it. But right now, it doesn't seem like that's going to cost them a chance to win the Super Bowl next year, or maybe even the year after. Now, on the back end of the contract, could it maybe cause some problems? Maybe. But at the same time, as long as you aren't overloaded with a whole bunch of heavy-handed contracts, you can move things around, restructure things. And so it's not as big a deal as it might have been a few years ago.
I would say, like, Brett Veach has done enough to earn our trust. Absolutely. Of what he's doing with the salary cap and what he's doing with contracts, right? Like, John Dorsey did not, like, no. Signing Justin Houston, and then before that, whoever signed Eric Berry.
Yeah.
If that was, I think that was Dorsey too. So, like, but Brett Veach has done enough for us to be like, okay, I think he knows what he's doing with contracts and getting things to work out the right way to win.
Agreed.
That's all I care about. Like, he can get. I mean, the trading Tyreek Hill is the example I'll always give of this guy knows what he's doing with money.
Yep.
He understands I can give him 28. I'm not giving him 30. Like, there's a number that I can't cross here to make this work for us in the future, too. And everybody calls him a salary cap wizard, so I don't have any reason to doubt that right now.
I said this for about a year or two. In Veach, I trust. You know, in Veach, we trust. And it is interesting, those two numbers you just brought up, because that could be the exact same numbers we're talking about a year later. $28 million, which would be between these two contracts of Aaron Donald and Quinnen Williams, make him a second-highest-paid defensive tackle in the NFL. But if Chris Jones says, I have to have 30, maybe Brett Veach starts to do what he did last year with Tyreek Hill and said, you know what, go ahead, have your agent start calling some people. Let's see what we can do, because I'm sorry, Chris, we love you. And I'm sure they said the same thing with Tyreek Hill. Hey, man, we'd love to have you on this team, but we can't go that far. And I do think that Chris Jones, Tyreek Hill wanted to go do his own thing to an extent because he felt he was underappreciated, which Chris Jones, I think, feels he's underappreciated at times too. But I think Chris Jones is absolutely sincere compared to Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah.
In regards to, I want to be a Chief, I want to stay in Kansas City. And I think Chris Jones also understands that, and I think it's important to some players. I don't think it's important to Tyreek Hill, but I think it is important to Chris Jones, and I think that's the difference between Jones staying with the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill being traded. And I know Tyreek's a little bit younger than Chris Jones. Chris Jones, I think, cares about his legacy, and Tyreek Hill, I don't think, really does. Mm-hmm. And I think Chris, and there's nothing wrong with that. Chris Jones, I think, understands, I have two Super Bowl rings. I've got a good chance to be a Hall of Famer. If I get another one, you might as well just lock me in.
Why am I going to let $2 million out of 28 to 30 stand in the way of me being one of the greatest to ever do this and on a team that might be one of the greatest to ever do this?
And I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know the scheme. I don't have to relearn anything. And guess what? I'm not going to go to a bad team and not win a title. I'm going to have a chance every year as long as I'm part of this organization and as long as Patrick Mahomes is my quarterback. And that's why, you know, I still think it's a blessing in disguise. I said it when it happened and people thought I was nuts. Sometimes my gut is right. Sometimes my gut is wrong. But I felt at the time, I was one of the few, you know this, when Tyreek Hill was traded, I said, I think this is a blessing in disguise for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to open the window. People are saying it's closing the window, and I totally disagreed and been proven right now that they completely opened the window. In fact, think about this for a second. If the Chiefs would have signed Tyreek Hill to what he wanted last year, $30, $31 million a year, they're not talking to Chris Jones about a contract extension today, more than likely.
Yeah.
So, you know, which one do you rather have, Chris Jones or Tyreek Hill? Some people would say, well, I'd rather have Tyreek Hill when this happened a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Now, which do you rather have? And to me, it's easy. I won a Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill. I haven't won a Super Bowl without Chris Jones. And that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about, well, the Chiefs didn't win a Super Bowl until Patrick Mahomes. Well, the Chiefs, prior to Chris Jones arriving, never won a Super Bowl either. And they didn't win it with Chris Jones before Mahomes got there. But the point is, they have not won a Super Bowl, you know, since way back in 69, without Chris Jones, without Travis Kelce, without Patrick Mahomes, without Andy Reid, without Brett Veach, without Lamar Hunt, or not Lamar Hunt, Clark Hunt. The point being is that this is a mainstay on the defensive side of the ball. You got your mainstays on offense. You got Mahomes, you got Kelce. But on defense, you kind of need a mainstay. Tyrann Mathieu was not that guy. Chris Jones is your guy. He is the face of your defense. And Tyreek Hill had a great year, made a whole bunch of money, and says he's going to retire at the end of his current contract. That's great. Happy for him. He got a ring. He got that out of the way. Chris Jones has already won more ring than Tyreek Hill because he's still a Chief, and I think he will continue to be a Chief, and I think he will probably get another ring.
I've had zero worries all summer about Chris Jones being part of this team, and what even solidified it more is, if you're not committed to the Chiefs and you're a true holdout, why would you be at the ESPYs when the best team's announced? Like, all the stuff going on and all the talk that could happen with that, like, I don't think Chris Jones is going to the ESPYs if he's not planning on being a Kansas City Chief. Right?
Now, there's talk, though, he wasn't at the White House, if I remember correctly. There was talk about, okay, you know, this could be. But I think what they had said, if I remember this correctly, he was not feeling well or something.
There was something happened that he couldn't make it. But
people read into that as, okay, is this a signal that he's going to play hardball?
Yeah, I don't know that he was at the ring ceremony.
Actually, that was it.
Yeah,
he might have been at the White House. It was the ring ceremony. Okay, that's it.
It was the ring ceremony.
That's what it was.
And, yeah, he was at the White House, but it's like also you just broke camp that day or your mini camp, right? Yeah. Like just finished that day. And it's like, does he show up for that or does he stay? And then it came out that there was something going on.
And people thought it was a message he was trying to send. And it sounds like he just wasn't feeling well.
Yeah. And so
we read too much into things, don't we?
I'm not worried about Chris Jones coming back to Kansas City. Maybe I'll eat crow on that, but I've had no worries about it all summer.
This is just me. I think we're good either way. That's why I haven't If Brett Veach trades Chris Jones and he thinks that's the best thing and he doesn't want to give him as much money as Tyreek Hill wanted last year and he says, you know what, we're done at 26 or 27 and we're not going to give you 28, 29, 30, 31 and he decides to trade him, I'm okay with it. I am, because then I'll trust Veach. I'm guarantee you Veach has a plan B like he did last year. I think he doesn't have as much of a plan B as he did last year, because I think he feels way more confident, and we're so deep into the situation. But I agree with you. I think he'll be a Chief, and I guess now it's just play the game of guessing how much he's gonna cost. What do you think? I'm going to say $27 million per.
Actually, that's what I was going to say, too. I mean, if you're going in between what these guys are making, I think Chris Jones is willing to sacrifice just a little bit on the top there. And so I'll say 27, 27 and a half.
I'll say 27, the same thing. And I'll say his guaranteed money might be as high as $80 million because that will be the thinking is, you know what? Okay, I'll take less per year, help you this, but I want some more of that guaranteed.
Yeah.
I want way more. I went 66, you say you give me 70, give me 75 or 80, and then I'll take your $27 million per average deal. We shall see, but it sounds like it'll probably get done. But, hey, nobody saw Tyreek Hill being traded last year, so anything's possible. Wimbledon, Mr. Bud Collins Jr. to close the show. We leave the best for last.
Yeah, as expected.
Wish you could do it with an accent. It'd be so awesome.
Dude, my nephew was talking British the other day. Like, what
are
you
doing?
See,
it's in the family.
It's like, maybe I should have Tristan come do this.
Yeah.
As everybody expected, Marketa Vondrousova is taking on Ange Jabeur in the championship on the women's side.
This is why I let Bud Collins Jr. handle this. I can't pronounce either one of those folks.
Novak Djokovic just finished off a tiebreak third set win, straight set win over Yannick Sinner. So Novak's into the championship on the men's side, and Daniil Medvedev, Carlos Alcaraz will play coming up.
Alcaraz and Djokovic, let's have it. Let's have the championship.
Yeah.
That would be great. And then Novak Djokovic would have 24 majors if he wins Wimbledon,
which would tie all-time men's and women's if he does that.
Because the women's was at
Margaret Court. Yeah.
Yeah, and Serena was so close a few times it couldn't quite get to win it when she was in some finals when she had 23. Yeah, Novak Djokovic doesn't show any signs of slowing down, that's for sure. All right, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Hey, don't forget the Shrine Bowl tomorrow night. What time is that? Is that 7?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock there at Fort Hays State University. So if you can get down there and support Coy Harris-Knape and Grady Seifert, great. So maybe you watch it on TV or listen to it on the radio, whatever the case may be. We wish them nothing but the best. And if you missed that interview we had with both of them earlier, that is on our social media platforms. Have a great day and weekend.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.